Hi, everyone. If you had turned it, hi. We're good. Okay, pages 22 and 23 in your packets is where we are at for this session. Pages 22 and 23. The title of this is Discipleship in the Local Church. So think about my session this way. Dave just he just dug us deep and rich and theological. It was a great foundation, what we need to hear. I'm going to go very day-to-day and very practical. So if Dave told us, why do we have the church? I want to help us to answer the question, how do we do church? How do we do church? So let me begin by saying this. Over the span of my life, as I look back, my relationship with the church has gone through four different seasons marked by four different attitudes. So season one was local church, I do not like you. So as a kid, maybe like some of you, I had to go to church with my family every week, and each time I sat there and I was so bored and so irritated and I couldn't wait for this stupid thing to end. Season one, local church, I do not like you. Season two, local church, I'll tolerate you. So when I became a Christian in college, I began to attend a church right near campus because the faculty advisor of our Christian fellowship told me that that's what every Christian is supposed to do. And so I went every Sunday regularly, dutifully. I showed up right on time for worship, and I left right when it was over. And if my advisor had been there, I would have looked at him and said, "You happy now? I'm at church." You see, even though I went to a local church, in reality, the fellowship on campus was very practically my church. So the music was better, the people were a lot younger, the messages were more geared to my season of life. So season one was local church, I don't like you. Season two was local church, I'll tolerate you. Season three was local church, I will honor you. So after graduation, I went to church because I was convinced from the Bible that it was the good and right thing to do. But I will just be very honest with you, it was hard. Maybe you faced it as a single. As a single, I felt like an outsider. As I sat among families with young children or young couples or older people who seemed to have known each other for years. And then after Shannon and I got married and when our children were young, let me tell you, Sunday was often the most stressful day of the week. Because the kids' schedules were off and it was just a lot of work to train them to sit still and to listen and to worship. And we both remember long seasons when we were unable to sit through an entire sermon without being interrupted or distracted. Season one, local church, I don't like you. Season two, local church, I'll tolerate you. Season three, local church, I'll honor you. My current season, season four, local church, I love you. And I really do mean that. The local church, I love. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like my church home. I love Sundays when our church gathers. Sundays, for me, is hands down and without question the very, very best day of the week. I love that God has given me a spiritual family that spans the age from newborn to 93. I love singing God's praises together. I love hearing God's word preached. I love praying together for big things and really little things in life. You know, on most Sundays, Shannon and I are some of the first to arrive at our church, and oftentimes we're some of the last to leave, and even if I wasn't the pastor, that would still be true. You know, the church I attended while I was in college had a tradition. Once a month, when we had Lord's Supper, we would end the service by singing, at that point, a well-known hymn called, "I Love Your Church, O Lord." So back then, I would sing it, but I would never mean it. But now I really mean it. I love your church, O Lord, her saints before you stand, dear as the apple of your eye, engraven on your hand. I love your church, O God, the people you have called, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. Now that process from I don't like you till I will tolerate you to I'll honor you to I love you, I just want to be clear, that unfolded over the course of 30 years. Anyone who knows me would agree, I am a slow learner. This morning, I just maybe want to help you speed up the process. This morning, I want to help you to grow in your love for the church and your involvement in the church. I want to move you maybe from tolerating, maybe some of you are avoiding, or simply honoring and attending to deeply loving and thoughtfully investing. In particular, I want to answer this question: how can discipleship in the local church happen in you and through you? In other words, in the church, how can you be a disciple? And how can you make disciples? My main point is very simple. Discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. Simple, profound, deep. Discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. And our Father, even now as we turn to your word, would you give us ears to hear it? Our Father, some of us are tired. It's been a long but good week. So give us ears that are attuned to your word. Help us to be not only hearers but doers of it. Lord, help us to grow to love your bride, the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage is right there on page 22. Familiar one from Mark chapter 10. Let me read it to you. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said to them, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We're able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. With my baptism with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left, it's not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Now, when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." What a powerful passage, huh? Let's think about it and apply it to the church. Three things I just want to walk you through this morning. Here are the three steps to being a disciple and making disciples in the local church. Right on your outline, you have to understand the season, you have to serve the new family, and you have to embrace the opportunities. So understand, serve, and embrace. Let's just walk through it. First, you have to understand the new season. So before discipleship can happen in the local church, you have to understand the new season that you are in. And here's what I mean. One of the first things you realize as you enter the local church is this: you're not on campus and in your Disciple Makers Fellowship anymore. Now, I know that many of you already know this, but if you hadn't realized it, here's a heads up. Life in the local church is very, very different than life on campus, especially in terms of the pace or the speed of life. Think about it this way. On campus, everything is in fifth gear. Life on campus is a pot of water that, apart from some semester breaks, is always set on high, and boy, that water is boiling away all the time. Here's some examples. Academics move very quickly. So 13 weeks and you're done with classes for the semester, and before you're even done with one set of classes, you're already signing up for the next set of classes. Relationships move really quickly. So people that you meet one week can often be your close friends by the end of the month. The geography of most campuses is such that you can connect easily and regularly. Here's another example, spiritual growth, or at least the expectation of it. It moves very quickly as well. So I remember talking with a student who was struggling with whether or not he was really a Christian. And when I asked why, he said, "I have been praying about my struggle with lust for 2 weeks now, and I'm still not over it." Oh my. Even leadership happens at an accelerated pace. I mean, students who become a Christian 1 year are often serving as leaders in the fellowship the next year. So listen, if life and ministry on campus is a pot of water set on high, what about life in the local church? Well, it's a crock pot set on low. Now, I just want to be clear, it's still plugged in. Things are still cooking, but it takes a lot longer than it does on campus. In fact, just before Focus, Shannon reminded me that to get the women's ministry at our church going a number of years ago, she and a few other ladies spent 2 years, just praying through the church directory for every woman who was listed. Can you imagine doing that on campus? 2 years? Why, half the current fellowship would be gone. You would be gone. And so as you consider discipleship and ministry in a local church, realize it's a whole new world, okay? Whole new world. And in that new world and in that new season, let me tell you what the key word is. Patience. Patience. Things are moving, but the pace is slower and it is more deliberate. On campus, the time frame is short, but the local church, let me tell you, it's playing the long game. Which is why our main point is discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. So as you enter your local church, I just wanted you to do this. Take a deep breath and slow down. Go to serve, go to encourage. Things are happening, but it is at a different pace. Relationships take longer to build and to deepen. In fact, there's a couple at our church that Shannon and I have been trying to grab time with since March, and we still do not have a date on the calendar. Welcome to the local church. Change takes longer to see, and it's slower to happen. So right before week one of Focus, I was at a meeting of our elders where we were continuing to talk about our plan to hire a year-long intern with the goal of planting a new church. We've been working on that plan for over a year now. Over a year. Why has it taken so long? Well, it's not the only thing we have to talk about. We only meet once a month, and once we start to agree on a plan, there's a whole lot of people we need to bring on board with it. Here's sort of the benefit of campus ministry. I'll tell you the sort of the awkward underbelly. If you meet student leaders who don't agree with where you want to go, that's fine. You just outwait them. They'll graduate. Can't do that in a local church. One of my elders has been serving for 24 years. And these are good guys. Life in the local church takes a lot of patience. And when you're used to life on campus, the temptation is to look at the church and go, "What's taking so long, people? Really?" And in that moment, you have to remember our main point. Discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. Like, remember how patient in our passage Jesus was with his disciples? Did you see that in his interaction with James and John? Can you imagine being the Lord of glory, going to die for the disciples, and these two guys go up to you and say, "Yo, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Now, Mark tells us what Jesus' response was. You want to know what my response was? Would have been, "Who do you think you are?" But Jesus, he was so patient. "Oh, what do you want me to do for you?" And for 3 years, he bore with them, and in the end, they still did not get it. Jesus was so patient with them, and listen, friends, he is so patient with you and I every single day. So every moment of every day, Jesus in our lives is playing the long game. Like, I don't know about you, but I've never heard Jesus sigh, "Ugh, Fodil." I've never seen him roll his eyes and go, "What's taking so long? Like, come on already." And what's true for me is true for you, and it's true for the church. Which is why discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. So first off, listen, understand the new season. And that the key word in that new season is patience. Second thing, you have to serve your new family. Serve your new family. So since discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus, it is vital that you position yourself as a servant in your church family. Now, there's a saying that was true and well-known in my generation, and I think it's actually survived to your generation all these years later. You probably know it. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's true. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So what does that mean? As you enter the local church this summer, like, just don't sit back and wait to be invited. Don't wait for the opportunity of a lifetime to come. Just serve. Be committed to doing what it takes with what you have, with the people who are around you. There are some members of my church here this morning. I really appreciate many of the ways that they serve. So Justin is starting a prayer meeting for our church on Sundays once a month. No one asked him to do it. It's like, there's a need. Let me serve by trying to fill it. Amber, I don't know where you are, Amber. Amber, are you? Yeah. Oh, you're back there. You're on the grass seats, yes, the lawn seats this morning, yeah. Amber was teaching kids Sunday school. Amber, mm-hmm. Thank you, Jack. Daniel, you have to figure out which one. Daniel, Daniel joined our tech team, but I remember the first week I saw him behind there, I'm like, do you know much about what you're doing? He's like, nope. Daniel, why are you on the tech team? I don't know, they needed people. Discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. Now, over the years, sadly, I have seen some students, I hope it's not you, enter the local church with, hi everyone, I'm here. You know what I mean, don't you? Like, hi, I have been trained in disciple makers. Hi, I have experience in leading a Bible study on campus and discipling people. Hi, I have the merch. Hi, I have all my packets from Fall Conference and Focus and maybe Women's Conference. And listen, I have really great ideas about how this church could be better and how I could make a real impact on other people. And let me tell you, it's great if you led in a fellowship. And I'm so thankful that you're being trained in disciple makers. And please keep coming to our conferences and stuff. That's all really well and good. But discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. Because they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Remember what Jesus said in our passage. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. You know this, right? The way up in Christ's kingdom is always down. So look to serve. Serve in the nursery. But Mark, I'm not good with kids. Great, we will train you to be good with kids. Serve in the nursery. Maybe you want to help out in children's Sunday school. I don't do kids. Great, we'll train you to do kids. You got to do kids someday, right? We'll train you. We'll train you to do that. Be on the tech team. Volunteer to be a greeter. Ask if you can come early to make the coffee or stay late to clean up. You know how to lead a Bible study? Then start to form relationships maybe with a couple of teens and just ask, hey, do you want to get together after church on Sundays? I'll bring a picnic lunch for us and we can just start studying the word together. One of our elders at church, when he first joined a church many years ago, he was talking to an older man and they got to talking about fishing, and Steve, our elder, realized this guy had never been fishing before. So he's like, can I teach you how to fish? So he took this older man fishing, and within a month they had about four other guys, and they started a Bible study through that. Steve's goal wasn't to start a Bible study. It was help the guy understand how to fish. He was living in California at the time. Serve, serve, serve. Discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. Look at the quote at the top of your outline there by Kevin Yee. He writes, the church does not exist to help us reach our destiny. We don't meet together to gain key skills to add to our work resumes. We meet together to encourage and to serve. Now, I want to be straight up with you. When I was first involved in the local church, I didn't go to serve, I went to shine. And a number of years in, a passage from the New Testament hit me like a 2x4 between the eyes. It just changed the way I looked at everything. I don't have it for you, but it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. Just listen to it. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Let me read that first line again. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That was so challenging for me. Because you see, I'll be honest, for a long time, I went to church for me. I wanted to be stirred up. I went for God, But I was clearly a very close second. I wanted to be stirred up to love and good works. I wanted to be fed. I wanted good sermons. I wanted good music. I wanted to be shepherded. I wanted God to bless me, and I wanted him to use me. And if I served, I wanted to serve in a way that fit me and spotlighted my gifts and my interests and my passions. And no wonder I was feeling unfulfilled and underutilized. And then along came Hebrews 10. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Wait a minute, Lord. Wait, are you saying that I'm here for them more than for me? Are you saying you want me to consider and ponder and pray about how I can serve and encourage and build up my brothers and sisters in the local church? Or to use the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, I'm sorry, do you want me to consider their needs above my own? And the nonverbal answer from the Lord was, oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah. And let me tell you, as you and I do that, we are in really good company. Because we read it earlier, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. Let me give you two ways to start. First, you've been hearing this last night, heard this morning from Dave. Could you just be there? Be there. Go to church. Do not neglect meeting together, as Hebrews says, even though some are in the habit of doing so. Don't make that your habit. Go to church. Be there as much as you can, for as long as you can. And as you are there, be there to serve others and to stir up others to love and good works. Now, listen, this may mean adjusting your schedule and your plans. That's okay. Christ Church is worth it. I am convinced that a good Sunday morning begins with a wise Saturday night. And over the years, Shed and I have had to say no to good Saturday things, because guess what? Sunday's coming. In fact, this summer, Shannon and I were recently invited to join some friends on a private boat in Hudson Bay, right near the Statue of Liberty, on the 4th of July to see the massive fireworks display in New York Harbor for our 250th anniversary as a nation. And guess what we said? Wait a minute, 4th of July? That's a Saturday. Yeah, sorry, we can't go. Why not? Because Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Remember Clint talked about fireworks last night? Like, Shannon and I did not want to sacrifice lasting glory for temporary fireworks. So be at church. And when you're at church, be all there. That's the first thought. Second, when you're at church, get to know people, particularly people you don't know. Now, in our church, Dave, I don't know if it's true in yours, but in our church, we have a number of students come. We're very thankful for that. But what typically happens is, and I'll use this word, clump. They come in as a clump. They sit as a clump, then after the service, they clump, and then they leave as a clump. Now, I love you clumpers, okay? But can we get rid of the clumping church? Because, first of all, it's not helping you to get to know other people, and it's really hard for other people to feel like they can break into your clump. I want to guarantee you, and I have enough years, I can say this with confidence. If you break the clump and get to know people, ready? You'll be all right. Like, you'll be all right. In fact, you might even be better because of it. Get to know people, everyone, young people, and even older people. Moses, why are you looking at me when I said older people? Yeah, okay. So older people, even, ready, leaders. Get to know leaders. Get to know your pastor. Here's a very simple script. Just go up to someone you don't know and go, "Hi, my name is Mark." Okay, don't do that part. Fill in the blank, okay, good. I know it's Thursday, but fill in the blank. So, "Hi, my name is..." Okay, I don't know you. What's your name? Because I'm just trying to get to know some people at our church. And you chat and say, just how can I pray for you this coming week? Now, that might feel awkward for you. I can almost guarantee you it will not feel awkward for the other person. So just get over yourself. The other person will actually feel very encouraged. And then as you get to know people, look for opportunities to serve. So maybe you meet a young mom with a lot of kids who's just feeling like, "Oh my gosh, I have so much to do this week," or a young couple that's feeling overwhelmed. Maybe say, "I know I'm just starting to get to know you. Could I come over and maybe help you out around the house? Can I watch your kids for an hour so you two could just take a walk around the block or something?" Serve. Maybe you get to know some teens who are looking for something to do during the summer in direction. You're like, "Have some thoughts. Want to do a Bible study?" And then maybe twice this summer we could go out to the local park and talk to people about Jesus. Maybe you meet some older people who are just desperate for company. You're like, "Could I come over some night this week? I'd just love to hear your story." Or do your yard work. Discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. So what you want to do is you want to understand the new season. You want to serve in your new family. Last thing is this: embrace any new opportunities. Embrace any new opportunities. One thought is this: as you start to get involved in your church, let the leaders in your church know that you're interested. And you're eager and you want to serve and invest. But as you do that, I want you to understand something. Discipleship in the local church is most effective when it happens organically and informally and relationally. That's when it's most effective. Here's what I mean. So you take the initiative to get to know people, and then you just start to spend some time with them. And as you do, maybe you ask them, "Hey, could we meet up? Could we just share one thing we learned from this sermon this week? Or one thing that we're learning in our Bible reading?" And then maybe say, "And maybe we could just pray together about something in the coming week." I tell you, when you do that, you know it's being planted? The seed of discipleship, right there. Let me tell you, unlike in our passage, James and John, who just wanted the seeds of glory, I tell you, the most effective disciplers at our church, they don't ask for it publicly. They're not gunning for it. They don't desire to sit on the right and left of Christ in glory. Like the most influential and effective people at our church, they invest quietly. And they serve humbly, and they invest in the people around them. I see it every week. They take advantage of Sunday mornings to meet new people. Like they're there early in case there might be a visitor. And they stay later just to catch up with people. So they're meeting new people. They're checking in on established relationships. Then they text or they call during the week to check in and check up. And they often schedule times to meet up with people to stir them up to love and good works. So these people, they don't necessarily have the title or the name tag. What they do isn't flashy, it's not newsworthy, it's not dramatic. There's no master complicated plan, there's no intensive spreadsheet. But I tell you, God uses them to change lives. Because they realize discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. And these people are eager to be a disciple, and they're eager to make disciples. I so much appreciated the point that Clint made last night during his session, where he said, you know, it's tempting to think that real ministry happens up here under the spotlights and not out there. And he helped us say, ministry and discipleship is out there. And I tell you, as he said that, that's true. You know what the highlight of my week is? It's not this. You know, I enjoy this. The highlight of my week has been rocking chair conversations. The highlight of my week is coming early before a session and seeing, is there anyone sitting by themselves that I don't know? And then I just sort of meet them and get to know their story. So I've been privileged to have great conversations with Ethan and Nick and Liam and Tyler and Moses and Abby and Daniel, two of them, and John and Matthew and Adam. Like, this is great, but this is a few moments. It's what we do among each other. That's where real discipleship happens. So discipleship in the local church happens when you serve like Jesus. I love your church, O Lord. Her saints before you stand. Dear is the apple of your eye, engraven on your hand. I love your church, O God, the people you have called. The church, our blessed Redeemer, saved with his own precious blood. My pattern in our church after I preach is I just leave a couple minutes of silence just for God by his Spirit to press his word and what has been spoken into us before we transition. So can we do that just for a moment? Let's just be silent. Maybe you want to pray in response. Maybe you want to write down a goal in response. Whatever God's leading you to do as you meditate on this, do it. I'll close this in prayer in just a moment. Our Father, thank you that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our Father, thank you that we have both the opportunity and the challenge to do that, not only day by day, but particularly every week as your church gathers. So, Father, help us to serve like Jesus, that we would grow to be more like him and that others would be raised up who love him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.